RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now, you might remember on our political panel on Friday, we touched on this. New Plymouth City Councillor Murray Chong revealing that his distinctive orange ute was shot out with a slug gun, leaving it damaged, potentially due to his opposition to Māori wards. The incident occurred after Murray abstained from a council vote on retaining the Māori ward, a seat he had campaigned against. And Murray is back with us on RCR. We had a chat a while back, Murray. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Okay, so sorry to hear about this. What was the nature of the shot fired? Was it stationary? Were you driving it? I haven't quite caught up with that.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, it was just parked outside my house. I've got, I'm on State Highway 3. And the house and the truck's parked outside on the front lawn. I just woke up one in the morning and there was a sort of a bullet wound in the side on the driver's door of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel? How did it make you feel, Murray? That's always the question that's asked in these cases.
Well, over the last 5 years, I it cut me up a bit, and I broke down a bit in the council meeting when I was explaining the history of all the threats and damage over the last 5 years, totaling over $5,000 worth of damage to my property over the years. And really a lot of damage was when I ran for New Conservative as well. There was a bit of damage there as well. There's certain groups that just don't like certain other groups of people, and it's just sad. It's just sad.
Would you call that a form of political violence? I guess you could.
Oh, definitely. I mean, only 20 minutes ago, I was outside and someone tooted and I looked up and they just gave me the finger. Little things like that, it just happens every day and it does slowly grind you down. But the type of people that are doing it, it's sort of all the same demographic. And you know they don't fully follow politics. They just read what the media is putting in the paper, and the media has really put a completely different view of what I really am in the paper. So I blame the media for a lot of this.
What have they been saying about you in the media then, Murray?
Very one-sided. There was a time a while back where they would write things about me which weren't true, but they never actually rang me up for my view. Or things like that, and it really got quite bad at one stage. It's calmed down now, and it's mainly only because I've been a little bit quiet.
Okay.
And also I've got a lot of followers in New Plymouth. I ended up being the most popular elected councillor out of the 40 that ran. And I think when they do try and bag me, the media, there's a lot of followers that just decide not to buy the paper anymore, and they write to the media about that. Yeah.
Why do you think they're trying to bag you? Because, again, the media is there just to report on what is happening, and it's supposed to be impartial, balanced reporting, so people can make up their own mind. So is there some kind of campaign being driven by the media, a narrative that's being pushed?
Well,
sounds like it, against you.
Yeah, it's coming off the hangover of the money spent, I think, the funding that the last government put towards the media, and they had to sort of be biased in one view, and I was always opposite to that overall view. I always try and challenge the system, and I guess I'm always the minority person that does that. So I'm an easy target to be picked on when the majority of the councillors vote the other way. But the reality is 90% of all my concerns over the last 11 years that I've been a councillor, where I've pushed a concern, a lot of it's financial concerns, and I've said this is what it'll be in the future, I get laughed at by a majority of councillors, but 90% of my concerns have actually come true. And people are realising that, and the public aren't stupid, and they're actually realising that. I think the biggest thing when it comes to the Māori ward, for example, now we can't guarantee that the bullet wound was for that.
Yeah.
But I have had history of being hassled with that issue. We had a referendum and 83% of people didn't want a Māori ward, and only 17% did. yet. If that was the case back then, the council, if that was the case, 12 councillors, because that's 83% of our councillors, 12 councillors should have voted no for a Marie Ward.
Yeah.
And even if the dial's back and things have changed and it's 50-50 Marie Ward or no Marie Ward, this day and age, at least 7 to 8 councillors should be, you know, 7 should be on one side of the fence and 7 should be on the other side of the fence. But I don't think we've got a true balance of representation with our council when only one councillor is saying no and all the others are saying yes. When it's a 50-50, you know, out there of where you stand on it. So I think there's a lot of intimidation and a lot of people see what I get, so they just don't go down that track.
You're saying, Murray, that it could be because of some sort of intimidation or perception of intimidation that could happen to them.
Yes, I've had a head leader in council because I ran for mayor last year and there were 8 others that ran for mayor. I got second. But I had a head person in council, I won't say who they are, saying, look, if you do get into council, don't be, you know, you have to side with Maori or else they will intimidate you and it wouldn't be good for your family. Oh,
really?
Yep. And I said, well, hold on a minute. We should not be living in a country that a council thinks that way. We should be doing what's right, not what is a risk of intimidation.
I see that... the mayor, Neil Holden, has condemned the attack. You'd expect that, urging against rising political violence. Where does he sit in all of this?
He's a pro-Marie Ward. Before he was elected, he was against Marie Ward. Now he's pro-Marie Ward. So you've, and I personally think he's he doesn't want to go down that track because he's, you know, he's got a great family. I know I've known him for years. No one wants their family to be subjected to that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you've got responsibilities as an elected official, especially a mayor. You're basically leading the city, and I can understand that no one wants to feel scared or intimidated, but why sign up for the job if you can't handle it?
Yeah, well, most 90% of all the issues, there's not a problem. You don't get intimidation if you vote against a certain way. I'm there to represent a good body of people, you know, that might think my way, and that's why I got elected. But, you know, we've really got to look at how we fight this or how we get around the intimidation of councillors by certain groups if they don't want to go that way. And I think that's the very reason why all councillors should not be taking a stance on this. This is the very reason why it needs to go to public referendum, because everyone gets to vote and no one knows how they voted.
Yeah.
So a public figure votes, he's accountable for the way he voted. So because there's intimidation involved, I think this is the very reason why it needs to go to a public referendum. So everyone gets to have a say and no one gets made accountable on how they voted. In a way that, you know, that no one knows. Yeah, because you can say one thing, but you can vote another way.
I see that Te Kahui o Taranaki Trust Chair Jackie King has condemned the violence, but was sceptical it was related to Marie Ward's. I condemn any violence towards anyone, let alone a local representative or any representative. To be frank, I think it's a long bow to string to imply it was because of his position on Marie Ward's. What do you say to that quote?
Well, I was head of doing the petition to create a referendum, and that referendum was for everyone to have a say. And I don't care which way it goes. If the people want to marry Ward, the public, I'm happy with that. Okay. Now you've got to remember that the people that were against the Marie Ward and against the petition, they were saying they were making a list of all the businesses that signed a petition and they would put it out to their people that don't use these businesses. So a lot of people didn't want to sign it because they didn't want to be on that list. And you know, this was coming out of the COVID era, and you needed as much work as you could. And then I did a one-on-one interview about a Maori ward with the group, and 24 hours later, I had all my car tyres slashed.
Okay.
Yeah. I also had a letter in the mail. I also had a couple of people say that they would king hit me, and I wouldn't know until I woke up in the hospital, if I woke up.
Wow. Okay.
And they would grab my dog. I've got a very well-known dog. It's a Vizsla, and everyone loves the dog. But they've said, you know, we will grab it off your property and cut it up into four pieces and put it back on your doorstep.
Gee, that's
like a family member to me. Wow. Yeah, okay. And it was all evolved around one issue at the time. And Jackie King's right. We can't guarantee this was an issue. I mean, it could be an issue on the rate rises because the rate rises are huge. But if that's the case, I'm the one councillor that's really been pushing to increase the rate rises and stop the spending. So if it's that, whoever did it, and if it was that, they're blaming the council and not me.
You're taking all the hits, Murray, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Whare Hooker 1-0 criticised the government for enabling race-baiting rhetoric and condemned the attack, but questioned if it was linked to the ward debate. Race-bait rhetoric. Have you been involved in any of that, do you think? Have you heard anything that could be defined as race-bait rhetoric at all?
I have an interesting view on race. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, if you base anything on the colour of your skin, whether you're white basing black or whether you're black basing white, it's still racist. And the real people that are really making an issue of this race are not the people they're calling racist.
Yeah, okay. But still, people are saying this, that basically the government is, well, I guess by that comment I just read, is enabling race bait rhetoric, and I guess by extension people like you are adding to it.
Well, I've always said, and I've been saying it for years, that we shouldn't have race as an issue within our council. It should always be based on need. Now, if 85% of that need is for certain people or Māori in the industry, they will get 85% of the benefit. But we should never have it based on race. You know, as soon as you put race in as an excuse, I feel, you know, and so the reality is if we base it on needs, they'll get most of the benefits because unfortunately that's the hard reality. But where it's needed, the money will go. But we shouldn't just say one group and we set up an organisation just for that one group.
Where does it leave you now, Murray?
Okay, so I'm still very passionate about council. I'll still do another term, maybe two terms after this. But I don't feel it's our right to, as councillors, to promote it either way. In the debate last Tuesday, we even had some councillors saying, you know, asking a question, are we going to arrange funding to promote the Maori ward? Now, that's not rocket science to realise that you can't use ratepayers' money pre an election to sway which way ratepayers should vote.
Right. Yeah.
You can't do that. And I can't believe they even think that they should be doing that. So it is up to the councillors, Ken, because they're individuals. But I don't think we need to. I think everyone knows where they stand. And we should keep out of it. Now that it's going to referendum, we should keep out of it. It is up to the councillors, Ken, because they're individuals. But I don't think we need to. I think everyone knows where they stand. And we should keep out of it. Now that it's going to referendum, we should keep out of it. Because there's more to running the council than this one issue. And I feel that this election all over the country is just going to be based on this one issue. But it should be, you know, running a council is way bigger than this. And we've left it up to the public. We should let the public talk about it.
Police are investigating. Have you heard anything back from the police as of time of our chat?
No. They came and took some more photos and all that sort of thing. I've got my cameras upgraded. You know, I've increased my cameras around my footage by 50%, and I've gone from 1080 pixel K.
Okay, yeah. So you can blow it right up and see what's going on. Yeah,
I can blow it right up. It's also sound. So if I didn't sound on the last ones, but if it sound, I would have heard the ping of the air gun go off. So I would have been able to find it. So I just, all this talk makes people think and listen down a bit. That's all I wish, and it's on every issue. But I feel my job to represent a big part of the community, it's 50% of it. There's got to be one councillor that supports 50% of people.
Mm. Yeah, well, one councillor supporting percent. Yeah, there's something a bit wrong with that equation, really, on the numbers, isn't there?
Yeah, and of course, I abstain, so that's really supporting it at all. But I haven't changed my view. So I haven't from a no vote to a yes vote. I just abstained because I didn't really want to promote either way, you know. And I actually came up with that decision several months while I was on holiday. Okay. If it goes to a referendum, that's my stance. I'm just going to remain neutral because I'm leaving it up to the people to say. People know where I stand on it. But this was the last straw, and I had to remind everything of all the intimidation I've had over the years, and it's not good. And my biggest worry, when good people that want to stand up and actually speak for, hear about that, and I've had a lot of people and businessmen that say, well, we'll never run for council because we would say the same as you, Murray, but don't want to get intimidated and our wives won't let us. And that's fair. We don't need to live in a democracy if that reason why good people don't stand.
And the binding poll is set for 25 local body elections. Any idea how you think that might go? On the numbers that you've just talked about, it probably will go the way.
In New Plymouth, the New Zealand vote, it could be, I still think it's on the side, I'm guessing 60-40 in New Plymouth.
Okay.
You know? So my view could be 60%. I must tell me at a referendum it was 83%.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It might spur a lot of people to vote. Who knows?
These issues can't they? They can really bring people out more than any other sort of regular issue, let's say.
Yeah. But mind you, we had the marijuana and abortion debate at the main election, you know, government, and that didn't really bring people to it as well. That would have brought a lot of people to.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. Yeah. Oh. Kiwis, too much other stuff on their mind, like the rugby.
I know. Yeah, you give them a sport to get a passionate about and they don't worry about the real things in life. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, Murray Chong, New Plymouth City Councillor, thanks for coming back on and explaining that. And, well, I hope you feel safe, as safe as you can feel, going forward, you know.
Yeah, I've had hundreds of messages of you know, concern, and man, that means a lot. It means a real lot for people that have done that. So anyone hearing this and anyone that's sent me a message over the last few days, I say thank you. It meant a lot.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.